This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Some more breaking news. ICE is going to open an immigrant detention facility in Newark, New Jersey. It's first. And, of course, making it easy, because it's right by an airport, to get people out of here. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And, by the way, streaming live on YouTube. So join the fun. Join the YouTube chat. ICE today announcing its first deportation center in Newark and its first ever under President Donald Trump. So I'll read you the press release. Just came out a short time ago. And it says U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement announced the imminent reopening of the Delaney Hall facility in Newark, New Jersey, after reaching an agreement with the facility's owner to reestablish the Federal Immigration Processing and Detention Center at the 1,000-bed facility. This detention center is the first to open under the new administration, said Acting ICE Director Caleb Vitello. The location near an international airport streamlines logistics and helps facilitate the timely processing of individuals in our custody as we pursue President Trump's mandate to arrest, detain, and remove illegal aliens from our communities. The facility will expand ICE's detention capacity in the Northeast, enhancing the agency's ability to manage the region's growing enforcement and removal operations. So the real question that I wonder is, what is His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, going to do? Is he going to fight this? Is he going to try to fight it? I mean, he can't. He can try. He can make a big stink about it. I would imagine the Attorney General, Matt Platkin, fresh off his major loss yesterday when a judge tossed out the case he had against South Jersey power broker George Norcross and company. I imagine the attorney general is probably going to try to stop this, but he'll be as useless in that as he was in going after Norcross. And I imagine the governor is probably going to try to get some miles out of this. I wonder, how are Democrats going to play this? Yeah, there's a governor's race this year in New Jersey. It's one of two states that has a governor's race. This is a 1,000-bed detention facility. It's a big deal. So, you know, the Republicans are going to be for it. All the Republican candidates running, obviously. What are the Democrats going to do? They all going to oppose this? They don't know what to do. They don't know what to make of this. But there is, in Murphy's new budget, all kinds of money that he put aside to help immigrants deal with whatever. And it's apparently the goal now of the Democrats in New Jersey to make New Jersey an illegal immigrant sanctuary state. Also a sanctuary state for transgender youths. A bunch of other nonsense, too. You know, to Trump-proof New Jersey is basically what they want to do. If they do that, they're going to hand New Jersey directly to whoever the Republican nominee is come June. I think so, anyway. I think that the best thing that could happen for Republicans is having this idiot governor in New Jersey at a time when we have a governor's race. Because this, I mean, he just proposed it, his new budget, which I didn't, I mean, I haven't had a chance to get into it because we've had so much national news. But his budget, he just proposed, it's like, it's so much bigger than the budget that Chris Christie left office with. And that was a massive budget. And he's got like 1,600 new fees and taxes and there's all kinds of pork barrel spending. I mean, the thing's a friggin' bloated mess. But it's exactly the kind of thing that's going to help deliver New Jersey red. That and Scott Pressler working hard. He was down in Burlington County, New Jersey, with my buddy Sean Erlin, the chairman of the Burlington County Republican Party this past weekend. And, you know, Erlin reached out to me and said, hey, can you join us? We've got Pressler coming in this weekend, but I couldn't because of the foot. But they had big success. I had a couple friends went, said it was great. So they are Burlington County, New Jersey is interesting because it used to be a red county. And then somewhere along the way, it flipped and became blue. But South Jersey is a red. I mean, if New Jersey were two states, the way it used to be, although it was central and west, it was or west and east, excuse me, it wasn't north and south. But if New Jersey were two states, if it was North Jersey and South Jersey, not only would we finally settle the Taylor Ham versus pork roll war once and for all, but South Jersey would be red, solidly red, really, with parts carved out. Obviously, Camden, the city of Camden, and, you know, parts of Gloucester, Gloucester City, and but for the most part, and if you took the Jersey Shore, and depending on where you said that north-south border was, going as far up to Monmouth County, if you want to include that, well, they would argue that's North Jersey up there. That's red. So the coast is red, the south is red, and you've got pockets of blue. But you look at North Jersey, I mean, Sussex, Warren, Morris, that Hunterdon County, Somerset County, that it's all red there. And what used to be east along New York City and that whole corridor, well, Trump made major gains there. There's a county called Passaic County, New Jersey, where some of Passaic County is actually very Republican, the northern part of it. But the southern part has always been very blue. And one of the cities in Passaic County, for example, is Paterson, New Jersey, city I'm sure you've heard of. Trump won that county in 2024. So New Jersey absolutely can go red this November. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And what's going to help is going to be the Democrats freaking out over things like illegal immigration and deporting illegal immigrants, which, again, polls incredibly well. People, the American people want, particularly with criminals, criminal illegal immigrants gone in a heartbeat, right? It's not even controversial. Where you get into the controversy is when you get into people who've been in this country for many, many years, and they get caught up in the process and the mistakes that happen and things like that. But that stuff gets resolved. Overwhelmingly, even when it comes to people who their only quote unquote crime is crossing the border illegally, which is a crime, the American people overwhelmingly still support deporting those individuals as well. So the Republicans are right on this issue. It's just a matter of how far will Democrats go in their hysteria. And I think it's really smart politics. You think about it. Of the Trump administration to announce the opening of this 1,000-bed detention center in February of 2025, the year of the gubernatorial election in New Jersey, because it's going to become a major issue. It's a 1,000-bed facility. So you just dropped now a major bomb into the governor's race. Great. I mean, beautiful. Fantastic. Because honestly, nobody's really been talking about Jersey since the UFO thing. And then on day one, Caroline Leavitt got in there and was like, yeah, you know, there's nothing to see here. Move on. All right. Well, by dropping this 1,000-bed facility in Newark, you've now just dropped a major bomb into the governor's race heading into November. So that and the fact that, of course, President Trump has signed these executive orders around schools. Now, as I've been saying for years, education, kids, this is the issue. Republicans need to be all over this. Be all over this, because you look at these MAHA moms, the Make America Healthy Again moms in the suburbs, and you look at the moms and dads who don't post on social media, they don't put signs in their yard, but they don't want their little girls playing sports with bio dudes. Like that little beautiful girl I just had on my lap, my daughter Reagan, who joined us for a minute till she got bored because she has daddy's attention span and ran out of the room. I don't want her having to deal with a bio dude on her team or in her locker room. Same with my daughter, Claire. I don't want that for them. No one does. That's the thing. Nobody does. But the Democrats are being stupid again, and they're running on this issue, and they're saying that they're going to stop and try to fight Trump's executive orders on this. So you already have Democrats, and you've got school districts, and this is about to become the battle, too, where for whatever misguided political reason, they think this is good politics for them to oppose this. Now, there's nothing that could be dumber for them to oppose this, but they, I guess, listen to the radical lunatics who surround them, and they think that this speaks for the majority of people. I really don't know. But it doesn't, because Democrats and Republicans, both sides of this issue, overwhelmingly majority agree that you should keep bio dudes out of women's sports and women's locker rooms. You've got to stop with the indoctrination in the classrooms, and illegal immigrants need to be deported. This is, I mean, like an overwhelming majority of people. This isn't like 51%. We're talking 60, 70% of voters who feel this way. So the real question becomes, how much will they overreact, and how much will that help Republicans this November in New Jersey and Virginia, where you have two governor's races? So we'll see. I'm excited for it, though. I can tell you that. All right. I got a lot to get to with you. You heard from President Trump earlier today on the show. The left is, of course, freaking out again on Doge, and the left is freaking out on Elon Musk. They hate this guy. Here's Representative Jasmine Crockett. She started shouting and saying that Doge is killing people. All right. Then she says facts matter, but she says that Doge is killing people. And then she claims that Trump's efforts to end the war in Ukraine could actually push us into World War III. Now, this is a new one for me. The idea that ending the war with Ukraine and Russia could somehow lead to World War III, that's a new one. I typically think when you end wars, then it doesn't lead to World War III. But here's Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. This is what I mean about them going insane. Cut number 9.
Instead, we're pushing conspiracy theories, and some of them are killing people. It's the same thing that we have coming out of Doge. It's the reason that people are dying. It's the reason that farmers are losing their farms, because we continue to peddle conspiracy theories. It is time for us to say, Mr. President, guess what? Russia invaded Ukraine. Can we at least agree on that one? Facts matter. Y'all, this is literally potentially putting us into an international crisis. We may be heading towards the next world war because we have a president that wants to pal around with Putin and wants to do everything to make him feel good, including lying about who invaded who.
Zelensky's coming to the friggin' White House tomorrow. Does she not know that? I mean, she knows this. That the president of Ukraine is coming to the White House tomorrow to sign a mineral deal, which is going to lead to the end of the war in Ukraine, which and Russia, which is then going to take us away from World War III. See, the goal here is to get away from World War III. It's not to go towards World War III. We want to get away from it. That's the goal here. Oh, but they can't stand that. The idea that Donald Trump may lead to peace, to world peace, right? They just can't fathom it in their minds. They're just like, what? I mean, how can this guy who's Putin's puppet actually be the guy that ends the war? It's just amazing. So this news out of New Jersey is a big deal. This 1,000-bed illegal immigrant detention facility in Newark. I think it's the kind of thing where you're going to look at it and you're going to see that the Democrats' overreaction will absolutely lead to helping Republicans this November. Now, I'm not saying New Jersey is definitely going to go red. I'm not saying that. Yeah, right. They're opening a concentration camp in Newark. Yeah, basically, that's what at Tanstafull, I think I'm saying that right, on Twitter said, that's going to be kind of the reaction. They always go overboard with this stuff. They always do. So, yeah, I'm sure Spartacus, Count Grantstangelus, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage band, I'm sure he'll be screaming about how inhumane this is. They're ready. You know, you have the Illinois governor, that fat J.D. Tubby, And be kind here. Tubby J.B. Pritzker already saying that Trump is leading us into Nazi Germany and then justifying the use of those words and justifying the use of saying that it's Hitler. So tomorrow, Zelensky's coming to the White House. The war between Russia and Ukraine is ending. And this is why they're so upset, though, because how many people are going to lose money on this? I mean, war is big business, baby. You know what I mean? War is big business. So if this ends, who's going to wet my beak? You know as well as I do that that's what this entire thing has all been about, right? It's all been about wetting my beak. Who's going to wet my beak? And in case you're wondering, because I've always been wondering this too, what does it mean for the United States of America when you've got now mineral rights from Ukraine, the war in Russia ending, the United States of America with our liquid natural gas export ban being lifted, right? And then in addition to that, we're going to be drilling more oil. We're going to be exporting that oil around the world. We just cut off Venezuela, which was a really smart move by President Trump. So what does it mean to the world? What does it mean for the United States? It means the United States is about to become, once again, the world's great superpower and leading in the world. Now, I don't want us to be the world's police department, and I don't want us to be nation building, spreading democracy. But you know what happens as a consequence of us being stronger is that other countries stay in their lane. I've often said to you before, if you really want to watch crazy people stay in their lane, then you have to be, the deterrent has to be that they know that you're serious. If they mess with you, you're going to mess back. Now, Linda McMahon, who is going to be the education secretary, has announced the launch of enddei.ed.gov, which is a public portal for parents, students, teachers, and the broader community to submit reports of discrimination based on race or sex in publicly funded K-12 schools. So I know we have a massive audience of people who have kids and grandkids in public schools. So if you go to this website, which is ndei.ed.gov, U.S. Department of Education, schools should be focused on learning. The U.S. Department of Education is committed to ensuring all students have access to meaningful learning free of divisive ideologies and indoctrination. This submission form is an outlet for students, parents, teachers, and the broader community to report illegal discriminatory practices at institutions of learning. The Department of Education will utilize community submissions to identify potential areas for investigation. So you put in your email, the school or school district, the school or school district zip code, and then you have a 450-word limit to describe in as much detail as possible the discriminatory practice taking place. So, for example, you can bring up the fact that the school is making students feel guilty about their race, right? I mean, you could bring that up, or making boys feel bad about being boys. You could write whatever you want, because this is a time to push back now on who are we pushing back on, really? The teachers union. Let's be honest. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about pushing back on the teachers union. So again, that website is ndei.ed.gov. And it's really good. I think it's really smart of them to do this, because I had a text from a friend last week who said her son was about to start the DEI nonsense in school, and she was going to meet with the principal about this. And I just said, you know, hang tight here, because help is on the way. And if you don't think this president is going to push back on these school districts who refuse to comply and cut off their funding, then you're not paying attention here. Because he's 100% going to do that. Now, my advice to any Republican anywhere is get on the right side of this issue and be bold on this issue and stand up for the kids, fight the teachers union, be bold on this, and don't be middle of the road squishy. You got to be bold, okay? You know, you have to be very bold on coming out here and saying enough is enough, right? Like we had our friend Jackie Tobacco on last week and the Monmouth County School Board and what they've been doing in Marlborough Township, what they've been doing there, fighting the indoctrination, just had a big win in court over this. You've got to be bold because this is a time for bold, but also because the parents are on your side. The parents are on your side here with this. So I think great. You know, and ICE just nabbed an illegal immigrant with an extensive criminal history in Basking Ridge, New Jersey. So you think about the opening up this detention facility and what it's going to mean, injecting it. I think Trump did this on purpose. I really do. I think he thought, I'll put this in, it will open this up in New Jersey, and then we'll make this a big part of the fight and let Democrats overreact. They arrested an illegal alien from Jamaica in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, with extremely disturbing history. In a collaborated effort, ICE arrested Richard Alfonso Smith, a citizen of Jamaica who has more than 15 criminal arrests with his conviction. That was according to the ICE Enforcement and Removal Operations Newark Field Office Director John Sikoris. His extensive track record of arrests, convictions, and imprisonments is not compliant with our nation's immigration laws. We are grateful for the resources our law enforcement partners were able to pull together quickly in real time to ensure the target was apprehended. Here are some of his lists of transgressions, right? Now, okay, so again, this is one guy, but there's a lot of guys like this, and they're being apprehended. And so let Democrats scream about this and how inhumane this is to get a guy like this off the streets. His criminal history began when he was convicted of assault, burglary, harassment, and disorderly conduct in May of 1996. He was sentenced to 4 years in June of 1999 for aggravated assault and resisting arrest. And during the same month was sentenced to another 4 years for manufacture, distribution, and possession with intent to distribute heroin. He was convicted in October of 2002 for possession of marijuana, which is, of course, now it's no longer a crime. But in March of 2004, assault, possession of a controlled dangerous substance, ordered 4 years imprisonment, sentenced again in 2006 to 6 years for aggravated assault and unlawful possession of a weapon. And he was convicted in April of 2014 for resisting arrest, and he was assessed a fine. Now, I guess the question that I have is, do you want to be paying the room and board for this guy, or do you want this guy to be gone? Well, if you look at the polling, the people are very, very clear on this. They want these guys to be gone. They want these guys out of here. So, I mean, all these moves that Trump's making are really smart moves. And a big part of what he's doing is getting the left to overreact. You know, getting the left to overreact here. Like, for example, going after the drug cartels. So Pete Hegseth had this great point that he made regarding taking action against the cartels. You know, there was an IED that they found, and this IED that they found in Texas, and it killed a rancher down there. Well, the cartels think this is their land, you know, and the cartels have been finding ways to buy land so that they can use those as their ways to distribute drugs. And for a long time, and this is kind of a plot of the show Landman, the oil companies and the ranchers have had nothing they could do about this. Well, now it's a new sheriff in town, obviously, and that new sheriff is saying, we'll do whatever we got to do. So last night, Pete Hegseth said to Laura Ingraham, when it comes to the cartels, hey, listen, nothing's off the table here with these people. Cut number eight.
What's your message to the cartels? They, you know, they're watching all this. What's your message to them?
Well, my message has been from the beginning, we're taking nothing off the table. Nothing. We will do whatever it takes to secure the American homeland, to maintain our sovereignty, and protect the American people.
Does that mean you're ruling out potential strikes inside of Mexico on fentanyl labs? Where we know they exist, and we know where they exist.
No, I don't think I ruled anything out. Anything's on the table. The commander-in-chief, ultimately, with my consultation and with the chairman and others, will make those determinations. But nothing's off the table. Our sovereignty will be defended.
Yeah, our sovereignty will be defended. That's exactly right. And good. You know, I say excellent. That's what has to happen. All right? That's what has to happen. We have to defend our sovereignty. And we've called it a war on drugs. That was always a dumb term because it really wasn't a war on drugs. It was a war on American citizens who were buying drugs. But it was never a war against the people who were supplying them. And it's a supply and demand issue. We have in this country spent years and years, if you think about it, incarcerating our citizens for buying drugs. Now, you can make all kinds of arguments about whether or not and adults should be able to make their own choices and buy these products. But that's not what we've done. Instead, what we've done is we've just thrown people in jail for using, but we've never gone after the supply part of the issue. We've only gone after the demand end. And, you know, as of recently in the last few years, we've talked about things like treatment centers and, you know, giving people treatment for drug addiction versus just putting them in prison, which is smart, but we've still never gone after the supply side of things. So we continue to have people using drugs illegally. And then the attitude of the United States government on both the federal and the state level has been, well, then you're caught using, you go to jail. But the people that are supplying that product, nothing ever seems to happen to them. You notice that? That has to be reversed. If drugs are going to remain illegal in this country, then you have to go after the supply. Because the demand side is much more complicated than the supply side. The demand side is complex with addiction and people who are addicted to opioids and people who are, we could go on about that. Obviously, we know that. But supplying fentanyl, supplying heroin, supplying cocaine, all these other things that are being done by these countries outside of the United States of America is a whole lot different than, you know, that legal marijuana shop, which I have zero problem with, that's selling legally in the United States of America. But we've always gone after the people using, and lives have been destroyed over this. People sentenced to the rest of their life imprisonment for using drugs, while the cartels get richer and richer and richer. And my heart goes out to a lot of people who are addicted to drugs. Using opioids, using pain pills, you see how easy it is to become addicted, how thrilling of a ride it is to be on morphine or heroin. You know what I mean? But what about the people who are supplying the fentanyl, supplying the heroin, supplying all these things to the streets, versus just going after the people that are using them? 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. All right. Dr. Mike, I talked about, the big story of the hour. Well, actually, this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I'm happy that we're going to be doing live shows there. I don't have the dates yet for you, but we're getting really close to announcing those dates. So stay tuned. It's exciting stuff. We will be back at the Grand Hotel for 4 live shows this year. And make your summer reservations now, because it's never too early to plan for a beautiful summer at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Such a beautiful place, right? I mean, it's just great being there. You'll absolutely love being there as well. So coming up next, our buddy Jimmy Failla is going to stop by. He's going to be performing in our area. We'll give you all the details on it. Plus, we'll get his take on the media covering up for Joe Biden's cognitive decline all these years. Don't go away.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. To you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center. Grand Hotel, CapeMay.com.
No. Hang on. You got to come back with a different song. You got to come back with a Saturday night song for us, Justin. I meant to tell you that. I forgot during the break. Can we do something Saturday night? Like something, you know?
What are we feeling?
The hell with it. We'll do it another time. Welcome to the show, Jimmy Failla, the man who hosts Fox News Saturday night on the Fox News channel. Of course, an epic show, wonderful show, probably the best thing on Saturday night in history, in my opinion. Also the host of Fox Across America, which you can hear right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD every night at 7 p.m. What's up, Jimmy Failla?
How about it, Zeoli? A lot going on here in New York, but to echo your sentiments, yes, Fox News Saturday night is doing well. We took a wrong turn with last week's panel, but other than that, we're doing good.
Have you recovered from that yet last week? Because that panel was a disaster.
Do you want to laugh, Zeoli? Obviously, you were great and funny, and Gianna was great and funny. One of the security guards just told me that Joe Piscopo is still in the studio talking right now. The show's been over for 6 days. That dude, I've never interacted with anything like that. I love him, but he really is like a mafia Muppet. Like if there was a Muppet in the mobster, in the mob, and I love him so much. It was a great show.
It was great because he just said to you, he goes, Jimmy, I'm just going to take over now. And he just started talking. Yeah. And then I think we blew through. How many, Brad, you blew through more commercial breaks than they normally do if they take Trump.
Yeah, that's true. And we went, so for everybody listening at home, on the TV side, right, if you go 30 seconds over, it's a problem. Like, you can go 10 seconds over, you go 15 seconds over. 30 seconds over changes the weight of the show in a way that you have to make it up somewhere else. Piscopo went 4 minutes over. Four. We went 4 minutes over. So if 30 is a mess, I don't know what the Roman numeral for 4 minutes over is, but it's a large problem. But we made it work. It was all in the name of fun, right?
But the best part of Saturday night's show was at the end of the show in the D block when I made a joke about Alec Baldwin's wife, Huma, having all these kids. And I said, and this whole time, Jimmy, I thought he was shooting blanks and crickets in the freaking studio. And I looked at the audience. I go, relax, people, lighten up. It's Saturday night. And there was a moment and a pause and a beat. And you look at the camera, you go, it's not that. It's that somebody told that joke better in the A block.
Oh,
man, did I feel that one.
Funny, but that's real comedy because it's so funny, and it's just life interjecting itself into the show because you didn't know that when you told that joke.
No,
and, if we were going to factually dissect the joke, because I told it one way, you told it another. I said he's not shooting blanks because the person's dead. You said he is. I don't know factually, was he shooting blanks or not? I don't know. I just know someone was dead.
I didn't know that someone said this joke in his opening monologue.
Yeah, that's
because, you know, we're all hanging in the green room. And, you know, there was a time when you were hanging out with Dennis Miller and you guys were talking about what green rooms were like in the 80s and how they were completely drug free. So we're hanging out in the green room. And of course, there's, you know, Jenny Fela's back there. There's bottles of water, no booze. It's the most boring freaking green room. But we're making chit chat. Oh, come on. And then, you know, you're doing your monologue out there and you're killing it, but nobody's paying attention to you. No offense, in the green room anyway.
Why would that? No. You're not. You're definitely not playing to those insecure showbiz people. You're playing to the audience. But no, I 100%. But that is so funny because I keep coming back to this green room obsession. Like, the reason I have my boombox there is I at least want there to be atmosphere. But we grew up watching late night where you probably didn't meet the host of the show in the green room because you couldn't see him behind the mountain of cocaine. You know what I'm saying? So it is like a little more sterilized than what I dreamt of as a kid. But I think all the PhD listeners will be happy to know the after party resembles the 80s that we grew up idolizing. I mean, it's not drugs, but we're drinking enough to kill a rhino.
Yeah, and I'm on my scooter drinking and crashing into SUVs driven by Russian oligarchs or their drivers. Well, at least.
Give this to the viewer. Since we're really letting people in, okay, let's really let them in. Last week, one of our guests was so smashed that he put on the wrong jacket. He took the warm-up comedian's jacket, put it on, and jumped in his car back to Philadelphia. I'm not going to name names or South Jersey. I'm not going to name names. I'm going to call the guy out and put him on the spot. But one of our guests who had to get home to a foot surgery Friday, whatever the next morning, I don't remember, put on the wrong coat and left. And lo and behold, he comes back, gives the guy the coat, but then still forgets his own jacket, which my wife now has in my Bronco.
Which solves the mystery of where my jacket is, because Bridget went to the dry cleaners the other day. She's like, I only have your pants. Where's your jacket? So mystery solved.
Bridget's got some Asian guy in a headlock because you have a drinking problem. Way to go.
It's only because I combined alcohol with all the medications I'm on for my foot the night before my surgery. I figured, why not? Let's have some bourbon. What could possibly go wrong? Well, everything. Everything went wrong.
Bang.
But, buddy, not as wrong as things are going to go for all the people on the Epstein list. I mean, at least we're not on that.
You know, since you mentioned it, I've got to go. I'm kidding. anyway.
Speaking of Broncos, really, there's one waiting to drive you on the freeway.
Yeah, I got to get out of here. It's a fascinating, the rollout, didn't it? I will say this. The rollout almost looks like a little bit of a confidence scheme because he's like, we gave them all the binders. but, you know, they're kind of not saying what's in them. To be clear, like, I understand that stuff would be declassified in order for us to be able to see it, so they'd have the right to have those binders. But we haven't learned anything yet, have we?
No, nothing. They're telling us maybe tomorrow now we might get something. We know Bill Clinton was on the plane, but everybody anticipated that. That's like anticipating a pilot's on the plane.
I was saying this, I was saying this on the morning show, though. It's like, it's not the guys that are on that flight manifest once that I have explaining to do. It's the guys that have been on it 17 times. Because that's a guy who, you know, clearly, you know, viewed it as like a timeshare and co-signed a lot of the goings on. But somebody said to me earlier, I should call up Sean Duffy and get the Epstein pilot to a commercial pilot's license, because that guy landed every time. No upside down landings, no diverted Southwest landings. For all the bad mouthing we're doing, okay, the Epstein guy could fly a plane. Give him that. I don't endorse where he was taking people. But answer me this, Zioli. Let's just answer me this, since you got the topic going.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you deny being involved in what was going on there if you flew multiple times on the Lolita Express to Pedophile Island? You know what I mean? It's like, you didn't book a flight on Delta. You booked a flight on what's a plane that's called the Lolita Express. You went to a place that's called Pedophile Island. How do you put that on the old Amex and get it by the missus? And then tell me with a straight face, anybody believes you didn't know what was going on? Wow, let's go to this place called Topless Woman Ridge. God, I had no idea there'd be so many boobs when I got there. It's like, don't insult my intelligence. I would have more respect if they said they knew what was going on, and upon hindsight, they're ashamed. All right.
It's like in Jurassic Park where they got to the island, but then they were shocked to find dinosaurs. Okay, you get one time to be shocked to find dinosaurs.
Yes,
but
you.
The second time you go, you can't be surprised when a velociraptor attacks you, all right?
Yep. Do you know the old street joke? It's an old street joke. Your audience might appreciate it. Three guys and a girl are trapped on a deserted island. And after 1 week, she's so ashamed of what she's been doing that she kills herself. Okay. After 2 weeks, the guys are so ashamed of what they're doing, they bury her. After 3 weeks, they're so ashamed of what they're doing, they dig her back up. And there's a dirty sex joke in there somewhere.
You got a hard break, so tell us about your comedy show coming up in Wilkes-Barre, because people want to come see you.
Kennedy and I are going to be in Mohican, Pennsylvania for the Slots and Sluts tour. It's Saturday night, April 19th in Mohican, PA. Tickets at foxacrossamerica.com for all my shows. It's going to be a banger.
I'm excited for that.
I'm only going to tell jokes that you tell in the A block of that night show.
You know, I left my jacket on purpose, so you have to have me back on your TV show.
That's what you think. I'm kidding. We'll see you on soon. We can't wait. We love you, Zioli. You're a smash hit. You're a smash hit in these parts, with or without your jacket. My show is no jacket required, apparently.
I'm like that guy that leaves something at the girl's apartment. It's like, oh, I got to come back now. All right, Fela, we love you. We'll see you soon. We'll be in Wilkes-Barre. The Zioli Army's going to take it over, and we'll see you in April, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Come get flashed by Kennedy. You'll love it. See you, man.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't remember that whole Saturday Night Jacket thing. But, hey, what are you going to do? That's why the doctor said don't drink when you're on this medication. Probably should have listened. All right, here's the deal. We got a lot more to get to. We have a big show still straight ahead. Top story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VeneriaNaria, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
By the way, that story was exaggerated. It's not at all exactly like what happened Saturday night. It's all fun, all kidding. I did grab the wrong jacket, though, but I do that all the time. I leave coats behind, leave jackets behind. It's just what I do. I wind up leaving things wherever I go. I have the attention span of a gnat. All right, I got to get into the media and the hypocrisy here and everything that they're doing. The amazing part of this whole story with Jake Tapper and this book that he's written now, which is essentially just the ultimate height of hypocrisy here for a guy that spent all these years covering up for Joe Biden and his cognitive decline. So we're going to talk about that. But I got to tell you, it was a big deal to hear Pam Bondi say last night that the Epstein files were coming out. Nothing really out on it today. We'll see what comes out on it tomorrow. We're all standing by and we're all watching. We're waiting. And hopefully there'll be something good that comes out. And, you know, there you go. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that. But I think we're all hoping beyond hope that we'll get some answers. We're also hoping to get some answers on Gene Hackman and his death, which is now they're saying is very suspicious what happened to him and his wife and his dog. And apparently other dogs that were alive there, but no, Hackman said, they said, that it seems suspicious the circumstances around this. I'll tell you this. He was a guy was a legend, man. He really was. And rewatching Superman with Patrick and seeing him as Lex Luthor, definitely a great watch. But other people have submitted some other roles that Gene Hackman has done over the years. You forget how many movies the guy's had. You forget the incredible legacy that Gene Hackman has had all these years. And he really has done some incredible body of work. I don't know. The circumstances seem strange. When his death was first announced, I thought maybe carbon monoxide poisoning. I think a lot of people thought that originally. But now they're saying there may be other issues involved, and it could be the fact that he was engaged in, or I should not engage him, but that somebody may have broken into the house. So we're watching all those details as well. But that was a real legend. I loved him in the Birdcage shoe. That was really great. But he was also really good in Get Shorty, which is a movie that, as somebody pointed out on X earlier today, it was, you know, it's not a movie that a lot of people think about, but that's one of the great ones. And Tron Travolta was in that movie. Rene Russo, Danny DeVito. That's a good one, too. So, yeah, he'll be missed. No doubt about it. All right. I'll tell you who else is going to be missed in the scheme of things is I'm sorry, I just saw some breaking news. Not breaking news. Okay. You never know in this day and age with Donald Trump where all of a sudden you turn around and you go, oh, there's more breaking news. No, that's breaking news we already covered. Like, how does this guy do it? How does Trump do it? How does he keep on it all the time, every second of the day? I don't know. And by the way, Justin, it's not that Rock the Casbah was not a good song. I just thought if we're going to have Jimmy on, we should do a Saturday night style warm-up song, don't you think?
No, the only reason why I said that was because that's what I played the last time we had Phalo on, and he liked it. He liked the song. That's why
he liked Rock the Casbah.
Yeah, that's why I reused it, because I knew he liked it the last time he was on the show.
Interesting. All right, no, that was good. I see where you're going with this. Yeah, I was thinking maybe Mr. Saturday Night. What do you think?
It's not a bad idea. It's something to throw in rotation with a couple other songs I could find.
I mean, he is now the king of Saturday night television, without a doubt, undisputed. So,
yeah, not one. I see what you're trying to say, and next time we have him on, I'll try and rotate some like Saturday night theme songs in there.
I mean, you do a great job, Justin. I'm not being critical. Don't take it as criticism, because it's definitely not. It's definitely not criticism. It's more of a suggestion. Like, you found the Linda Kearns walk up song. You know, you did that all by yourself.
I know it's not criticism. I appreciate the compliments nonetheless.
Yeah, because everybody loves your choice in music. Way, way bigger of an upgrade than Henry, who would just, I mean.
I've heard the stories of Henry the Tyrant.
Yeah, Henry, basically, the tyrannical Henry. Tulsi Gabbard is going to press national security implications of the United Kingdom's demands to Apple. I'll get into that with you as well in the 6 o'clock hour, because that's one of the things that was brought up today with the Prime Minister of the UK in the Oval Office with the President and J.D. Vance. And he said it. He's like, listen, you know, you guys have a free speech issue here. You got a free speech problem and we got to deal with it. Because this is, as much as we love you, we got to deal with your issues. All right. The UK prosecutes people for hate speech. The UK prosecutes people for using words that are they find offensive. And there's a lot of people in America. And I always say this, too. What happens in Europe sometimes finds its way across the pond. So the best thing that America can do is push back, because we're all about freedom in this country. That's what we're about. We're about freedom, and we want to make sure that we inspire freedom. We certainly don't want to turn around and be in a situation where we're not calling it out. I'm not saying we got to invade the country and take it over. I'm just simply saying when we see it, we turn around and we call it out for what it is. All right. And that's what we got to do. All right. We'll do a big 6 o'clock hour coming up, and it's springtime. I'm so excited for spring. You should be too. And that's why you should reach out to my friends at Natural Lawn of America. Natural Lawn of America. Oh, they do such a great job. And they're going to seed your lawn for free. That's right. For free. When you call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED, 1-800-FREE-SEED. And they seed your lawn for free. Isn't that great? The reason why I love Natural Lawn of America is because you saw my beautiful little daughter, Reagan. It's all about the kids, all about making sure that you have a lawn that's lush, green, and thick, safer for your family, safer for your pets. That's what you need with Natural Lawn of America. So do it today. Reach out to them at 1-800-FREE-SEED. And you'll be really happy with the results, because they're a local family-owned company. And I like these other big companies out there that just go and they just spray your lawn and they treat every lawn the same. That's not the Natural Lawn of America approach. The Natural Lawn of America approach is to treat your lawn specifically the way it has to be treated, the right way. That's what you want to do. Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED. I can't tell you how much that overseeding matters to the health of your lawn and getting that lush, thick, green lawn that you need. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.